Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Yes. Everybody say yes. Yes, Lord. You know, there's so much more. There's so much more. It's amazing the limitations that are placed upon us. So much more. Would you turn to the book of John, chapter 15? You know, as we enter another shift of the Holy Spirit, another stage of life, another turn of the page, there's that area where God is always opening up to us another place with Him. And in this other place with Him, it means that He reveals Himself more to us in the area through revelation or dreams or visions and His presence. You know, last Friday night we had a sweet service and the presence of God filled that place. And you could actually sense the glory of God. When the glory of God comes, He releases His presence is hot. And in that, there's a change in us. And one of the things that begins to happen is we want more. Let me tell you, when God's presence comes, you want more. In other words, you're satisfied for that moment, but it's like, man, if that's what it's like to be in your presence. Whew. You know, when the Lord took me into glory, and I realized that everything that I ever desired in life was in Him. I was completely content and satisfied beyond comprehension. I didn't want to have anything to do with anyone or anything. All memory of family in this realm was gone. The fulfillment of everything I tried to do in life was overfilled. You know, you can't put those things in words or writings. You must experience them. I can tell you about it. The apostles can tell you about it. You can read about God's presence and glory in the Bible, but there's an area where we begin to experience His presence and glory more and more. And what He releases to us is sufficient to allow us to become hungry. You know, in that, one of the things that we talked about inquiring and it is required of us is abiding in Him. And you know, we lose sight in the area of abiding. We just believe that abiding in the Lord sometimes is just reading His Word. Well, I read a chapter today, so I'm abiding. Well, no, that's not abiding. That's a part of it, because where it says that we're to abide in His presence, His Word and prayer and fellowship. That's the area of abiding. And it's amazing on how many believers still don't get that. And the reason why they don't get it is because they're not hungry. It's our responsibility to maintain a thirst and hunger. He says, you get thirsty and hungry and I'll fill you. That's why some people have never touched the glory of God. You know, when we're down and out and we're at our worst state of being and we've lost everything and nobody's there to rescue us anymore, is sometimes for some of us that place where we get thirsty and hungry for God. We cry out to Him. We wait for Him. We look for Him. We yearn for Him. We know He's the only way out. But what begins to happen is we become complacent and compromise. And we begin to rely on common sense. In John 15, in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So if you're doing the right thing, you can expect to get pruned. That means crushed. But I don't get it. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. Right. That's why you're getting crushed. Because what begins to happen is God knows that we begin to rely on our common sense. We begin to rely on, why? Because fruit's being manifested. Oh, I'm doing pretty good then. You know, the first thing you said is, I must be all right now. Well, you just said I. And let me tell you, there's a buzzer in God's throne room that's anybody that says I. There it is. Gabriel. Michael. Get Lucifer to release some demons on them. What do you mean? We need to crush them. I got an eye buzzer. Why? Because he wants you to bear more fruit. In verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciple. And there's the three areas again of abidance. You abide in his presence. You abide in his word and prayer, and you abide in the body. That's associated with the three chambers of the tabernacle. Everything revolves around the tabernacle of God, and I will continue to say this until I depart. Everything revolves around the tabernacle of God. There are three chambers in the tabernacle. There's the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. The presence of God, the word and prayer, and the body. Has everybody got it? Associated with the three chambers of the tabernacle. John 14. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for through me. Jesus again explains that he is the tabernacle of God. The way is the outer court, the truth is the holy place, and the life is the most holy place. And in each chamber, there is a different voice, there's a different function, and there is a different presence. And there is a different voice, there is a different function, and there is a different presence in each chamber. The outer court is known as the voice of salvation. Its function is salvation. It carries a presence that draws. No one comes to the Father unless he is drawn. That is the first presence of God. The second chamber is called the holy place, which priesthood is fulfilled. It has another voice and a language called tongues. And it is the second presence of God called the anointing. And there is the third chamber of the tabernacle. And its function is kingship, or what we call warrior. and it carries a voice of glory, and its presence is glory. Is everybody with me? Again, there are three chambers of the tabernacle of God. They are called the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. Each chamber has a specific function, a voice, and a presence. Again, the first chamber, its function is salvation. It has the voice of repentance. And it is the first presence, because it is the first chamber. And in that presence is where the Lord says, no man comes to the Father unless he's drawn. It is called the way also. Jesus said, I am the truth, right? That is the second chamber of the tabernacle called the holy place. And in the holy place, its function is priesthood. And its voice or language is called tongues. And it is the second presence of the Lord called the anointing. The third chamber called life, its function is priesthood and warrior. Its voice is the glory of God. And it is the third presence of God called glory. So the three presences of God is his first presence. It's called presence. His second presence is called anointing. And his third presence is called glory. Psalm 19. And we are talking tonight about the third presence. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the what? The glory of God. And the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech. And night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the Son. In other words, there's a chamber for the Son of God, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Its representation of the third chamber, or the tabernacle of God, where the Lord returns from. Because there's a tabernacle in heaven, and there's a tabernacle on earth. And in the glory, the third presence of God, there is heat. So when you feel the heat of God, it's a representation of God's glory. The glory in heaven speaks by revelation. It is the glory chamber that reveals his presence by heat. Matthew 3. We must come to a point that we realize that we cannot live without his presence. We are miserable. You know, people get miserable. They don't even know why. You know why? Because they're not in the presence. And they tried to change the miserableness by the things of the world, and it's only temporary. So they get a bonus. They work extra hours, and they get a bonus. So money begins to bring fulfillment to them in replacing the presence of God. Success, popularity. Matthew 3, verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Whoa! This is called the voice of revelation. John the Baptist came in the voice of revelation. In fact, John the Baptist was the spirit of Elijah. It was known as the voice of revelation. And we know that we go from revelation to revelation, because revelation always brings reality. It makes the unseen. When people don't have revelation, They don't have relationship. In verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me. In other words, this doesn't make sense. This just doesn't make sense. But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This is the voice of glory. It's the what? Voice of glory. So there was the voice of revelation that was carried by man, and there was a voice of glory which came from the Father. If you recall, Peter, when Jesus said, who did they say that I am? Right? And he said, you are the Christ. You are the anointed one. And none of the others knew. And Jesus turned to him and said, you're right, Peter. I am the Christ. And no man has revealed this to you but my Father from heaven. Why? Because he heard from the voice of glory. 2 Corinthians 4. I was with my wife one day, and I heard the voice of glory, and she ran. Shut the door in another room and began to cry. Because I was talking to the Lord, who came to me in an audible voice. And we had a strong discussion. That's right, you weren't my wife then. We had been divorced 3 years now. You figured that would have really topped it off. That's it, this guy's really nuts. Especially when I started talking to the Holy Spirit and hearing the voice of glory and the voice of revelation. And then as the things began to manifest, she began to say, now what did he say? She knew I wasn't nuts anymore. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So Jesus was the glory of God. Everybody got it? Jesus was the glory of God. That's why he could say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, because he was every chamber of the tabernacle. He was every voice. He was every presence. Yes. Verse 7. And what the awesome thing is, he said, and I give you my Spirit who will guide you to all truth, tell you things to come, and he will declare the things that I've gotten from the Father to you. So you got to understand something, that this is about glory in me and you. But so many times people don't get it because they're so caught up in common sense. They're caught up in carnality. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal body. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what it is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having been spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So the things that are not seen are called reality. So one of the things, again, the Lord is trying to bring us is revelation, because revelation always brings reality. So everybody got it? Is everybody okay? So we see that the light of the knowledge of the glory was in the face of Jesus. That means Jesus is the glory of God in us. Amen? Now, we are pressing through the chambers ourselves. We are pressing not only through the chambers, but we are pressing through our soul, which also has three chambers. It's mind, it's will, and emotions. We are pressing through to reach that place of the glory, to hear the voice of glory. We're always pressing through. We have a teaching called burning through the soul. So in this, the afflictions are for perfection, so that we begin to look at the unseen and not the seen. We don't rely on the seen. We rely on the unseen. We don't rely on our common sense. Does everybody got this? Common sense brings limitation. You can have all the wealth in the world by common sense, but never touch the glory of God, which is disgusting as a believer. And never know the presence and the love that changes. Never know that when you know that your flesh is being ripped because he loves you. It's a wonderful thing. Glory! 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we what? Groan. We groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from what? Called glory. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. What was Adam and Eve clothed with? The glory of God. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not common sense, not by sight, not by feeling. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be what? Well pleasing to him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your conscience. So we desire to be more clothed with God's glory. When that desire comes, so many people don't recognize it. You know why? They try to figure it out by common sense. They try to figure out by how they feel. They try to figure it out. Why am I miserable? Again, maybe you went to worship, but you only were stuck in the outer chamber. Maybe you worship, but you only got to the second chamber. See, satisfaction only comes when you hit the glory. Oh. Romans 8. That's why Paul, he didn't care whether he was wealthy or poor. In fact, the Bible says he made other people wealthy. He didn't care. Why? Because he had the glory of God. He was in the riches of the glory of God. That's all that mattered to him. You know, the more things you have, the more things you got to take care of. Hallelujah. Romans 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it cannot be subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are called what? Sons of God. Now, led by the Spirit of God, these are called sons of God or sons of glory. Sons of glory. Just like Jesus. The carnal precepts, common sense of carnality will be your enemy. It will be your enemy. Has everybody got it? And it's your enemy to spiritual growth. Again, you may grow and prosper physically, but it is your enemy to grow spiritually. Now, you may go to a place and you may see a place on fire. Well, common sense will tell you, don't go in. Amen? In fact, fear will tell you that too. But there's another thing that says, is there somebody in there? Lord, what do I do? See, so now you're nullifying common sense. And if he says go, you're protected. You will not be burned. One day I was driving home and I was in my 46 Chrysler limo, suicide doors in the back, and I always carried extra water because, you know, those older cars are. They leak. They do all kinds of stuff. And I was driving down the road. All of a sudden, I was going across a red light and driving. And I looked on the side. I'm driving by it. And this guy just got done throwing a large orange bucket of water on his car. Because I just saw it. It must have caught on fire. And I was going a little bit further. The next thing I saw, started on fire again. And I said, Lord, he said, turn around. And I turned around. Now, common sense was saying, get the water out of the car and throw it on the fire. And my doors were locked in the back. And I said, Lord, he said, command that fire to go out. Duh. So I stood there and I said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command you, fire, to go out in this vehicle. Now, in the name of Jesus. And that fire went. Phew. The man that saw that just about passed out. Then I ran across the street and got water. And I came back. And I said, did the fire come back? He said, no. I said, to God be the glory. I said, see ya. But like I said, the common sense talked about, I thought about putting the fire out with water. But we must go beyond the common sense, because common sense puts limitations on our life. Oh, there's common sense of things, yes. But there's the common sense of the growth of the in the spirit is your enemy. Hello? Is everybody with me? Are you okay? Go to 2 Kings chapter 4. Oh, hallelujah. You know, think about the things that Jesus did. Spit on, soil and rubbed it on somebody's eye. You know how many people try to do that and nothing happens? Nothing, then they bruise the person's eye? Because God didn't tell them to. 2 Kings chapter 4. Is everybody there? Verse 1. See, common sense says copy what Jesus does. So everybody got this. I want you to listen. But it's not what he did, it's what he was told. Are you listening? I want you to hear then. I want you to go beyond listening. I want you to hear. Jesus didn't do anything unless he was told to do it. That was what the example was. He said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it first. Why? Because seeing is revelation. Wisdom is understanding the revelation, which brings reality. So he saw it ahead of time, then he did it. 2 Kings 4, verse 1. And a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elijah, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elijah said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. And he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere for all your neighbors. Empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. Now, I want you to know that when the Lord started Total Freedom, he gave me the scripture. Because everybody told me, don't get in debt. Don't get in debt. Don't get in debt, man. God will provide. Don't get in debt. And the neighbor next door to my house one day met with me, and she said, I'm giving my house to this person. I'm so many payments back due, this, that, whatever. And I thought about a mortgage. Well, a mortgage gets you in debt. And I said, Lord, what do I do? And he brought me to the scripture. And he said, you get the houses, and I'll fill them. And you know what? We've never missed a mortgage payment in 15 years. Well, I guess 18 years now. We've never missed it. We might have been late, but we never missed it. Not one. To God be the glory. In verse 4. And when you come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. And she's probably thinking, wait a minute, I only have one jar. Common sense says, I only have one jar. It's impossible for me to fill all these vessels. Where are you going to get the other oil? So she went in from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. So the oil kept multiplying itself until there was no more vessels to fill. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. But there's something she had to do. She had to take the one oil and pour it in the other. Now, common sense will say, what is this about? I'm just pouring one vessel of oil into another vessel of oil. And it's going to actually cause it to decrease because of the film that will be in the one vessel. That's common sense. But that put limitations. She went beyond common sense and obeyed the man of God. So everybody got it. And God manifested. Go to 1 Kings 17. Listen, we are entering strange times. Strange times. You know, God doesn't always give you the blueprint. Because if he did, we'd try to add to it. You know, we try to add additions onto whatever he's got. He begins to unfold things bit by bit. He gives them pieces. So if you're an individual that has to have everything set before you do something, you are limited in your growth spiritually. So everybody got it. You can only grow so far. 1 Kings 17 and verse 8. If you have to have your T's crossed and your I's dotted before you do something, you'll never get anything done. You will not grow spiritually. Because everything must be a common sense or a revealing to you that this is how it's supposed to be. When you receive salvation, you didn't know nothing. You did it by faith because you were told if you can receive Jesus, you don't have to go cook. You won't be dinner. So by faith, you said, man, I ain't going there. Common sense told you, I ain't going there. But you weren't sure if you were going or not. So you figure, what do I have to lose? Help! Jesus be my Lord and my Savior, and I repent. And then things began to change. But they didn't change beforehand. You didn't know what was going to happen. I still don't know what I'm going to do when I grow up. But things begin to unfold bit by bit. So whatever's unfolded is where you step. Whatever door is open, you step in. And you trust. And in the areas that there's doors that open, those things are by revelation, and then you'll get a confirmation, not before you go into the door, but usually after. That's why the Bible says, test all things. Don't do all things. Test all things. Amen? Test them to see if they are God or not. And 1 Kings 17 and verse 8. Is everybody there? Hallelujah. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Okay. Now you got to understand this. The Lord tells Elisha, go there, she's going to provide. And this girl's making stuff for her last meal. This just does not make sense. Wait a minute. Lord, what's going on? The woman doesn't have nothing to provide for me. I don't get it. This doesn't make sense. She's got two sticks to rub together. She's got a little bit of jar, a little flour. She's going to make something. There's not enough for all three of us. Now, she's got to go beyond her common sense, doesn't she? She's got to go beyond her carnality, her understanding. Wait a minute, I'm going to give this dude everything I got. Are you kidding me? You're the man of God. Why don't you go get it yourself? See, God wanted them to bless both. Are you with me? So, in verse 13, and Elijah said to her, "Do not fear, go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first." Oh, this really must have really flipped her out. What? "And bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son." What was he causing her to do? So. Sowing doesn't have stipulations. Sowing is give without asking it back. So. "For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall a jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." Whoa! She could have opened up a warehouse. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. Then the bin was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Again, common sense and carnal precepts will put limitations. God wants to move supernaturally in our life, but this will prevent it. This will prevent it. See, common sense says, I need to work hard. And there's nothing wrong with working hard. Please understand that. People have worked hard, and they've built empires and done all kinds of things and even done things for the kingdom of God. But they've put so much effort into building, they've not spiritually grown. Somebody got it. Oh, hallelujah. The most people are concerned about losing it. So how can they grow? Now fear's got them. Go to 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and verse 17. Would you read it with me? "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty or freedom. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory." In other words, revelation to revelation. "Just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Why? Because you're listening to the voice of glory. You are changing. The more revelation, the more you change. So everybody got this? And what's preventing revelation? It's carnality and common sense. Preventing it stops growth. So everybody got that? Glory to glory. Revelation of reality. The unseen. Romans 8:18. The third presence is the glory. Romans 8:18. Let's speak it together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in who? Us. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. The creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. We are known as the children of light, aren't we? Now listen, in the three chambers of the tabernacle, the outer court is provided by natural light. The holy place is provided by co-creation, man and God. Why? Because what's keeping that is fire and oil, but it was lit by man, and God had to make it into menorah. All right? So you got the outer court, which is the natural light, the holy place, okay, which is the co-creation light, and the most holy place, which is the glory light. It's the place where its eternal light is revealed. And it was revealed once a year in the Old Testament, but that is now within me and you. That's where we are. Why? Because you and I are called children of light, not because of the outer court or the holy place, because of the most holy place, because we were bought by the blood of Christ, and we have boldness to go to the most holy place, if you're willing. Woo-hoo. Praise God. Isaiah 60. Everyone say, I am the light of the glory of God. Isaiah 60. Now, common sense will not comprehend this message. We'll try to calculate it all. You know? Won't get it. Carnality cannot comprehend something from the Spirit. You must be in the Spirit to comprehend the things of the Spirit. Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, the kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitude of camels, well, shall cover your land. I think my neighbors might have a problem with that. And the dromedaries of Media and Ephrat and so forth. In other words, you're going to be blessed. Why? Because the glory rests upon you. Amen. I can hear it now, my neighbors. You mind getting that camel out of my backyard? Psalm 8. Of course, we'd be the only ones in the neighborhood with a camel, so they'd know it comes from. Hallelujah. Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor, and you have made him have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Who is he talking about? Us. Us. But the devil don't. See, people are defeated here in their minds. Carnality, common sense, all of these things are your enemies. All sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Praise be to God. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Third presence is his glory. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You know, many times I get a question asked me, what are you going to do? I don't know. But I will. Just because I don't know now doesn't mean I won't know. Why? Because I'm waiting for the plan to begin to unfold. So there are things that I do that I don't understand why I did them. But I did them because I was led to do them. But I didn't know the end result. When we got the house next door, I had no idea we were doing Total Freedom Program. We just figured we'd get another house, help this person out, whatever. And the next thing, one another person, whatever. And we were looking for a place to just to use as a house to worship in. And then we ended up helping people out. But it didn't start with Total Freedom. It started off with all kinds of people. Even Mom ran that house. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, from your past, from your past emotional attachments, from your past traumas. Has everybody got it? From your past failures, from your past successes, from your past everything. If you cleanse yourself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call out on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses. Now, this senses is not carnal senses. This is the sense of conviction. Somebody got it. And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 4. The third presence. The third presence. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he's blasphemed, but on your part he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or thief or an evildoer or busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in the matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him and doing good as to a faithful creator. And I'm going to close at 1 Corinthians 15, the third presence. So this is what we fight for. We fight for the third presence. See, some people just don't want to fight for it. They're content with the first or second presence. But then they don't get revelation. They don't get thirsty and hungry and so forth. And it comes and goes, and their fulfillment is according to the world because they're successful with common sense. But it is the enemy to spiritual growth. Listen, the devil's the most cunning creature God created. He knows exactly how to put a limitation on an individual's life. Even the Bible says, what as good is it to gain the whole world and yet lose your soul? I think many people are going to be amazed when they get before God, when they realize that they were successful in the wrong assignment, or they thought they were doing the will of God the whole time. And he said, you didn't hear my voice. You obeyed my word, but you didn't hear my voice. The lack of relationship and revelation. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 40. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, and it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, and it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last man, Adam, became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have been born the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man in glory. Hallelujah. The third presence. Search yourself out. Examine where you're at. It's important. Because I'm going to tell you, the third presence is essential from this time to rapture. It is essential, or people will easily be deceived. The third presence is essential. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Help us with revelation, that the voice of glory would bring revelation to each and every one of who we are, not who we were, but who we are in you. And to Jesus be all the glory, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.